aim of our Living with Diabetes podcasts is to share information and inspire, and we endeavour to ensure that the information provided in them is accurate. It's not a substitute for medical or health advice from a healthcare professional who's aware of the facts and circumstances of your individual situation. We always recommend that advice be sought from your GP or diabetes nurse before making any changes to medication or before using any products or services referenced by DRWF. DRWF will not be held liable or responsible for failure to seek competent medical or health advice from a professional who's familiar with your situation. Views, information or opinions contained in podcasts do not necessarily represent opinions, standards or policies of DRWF. The inclusion of details about products or services does not indicate DRWF endorsement of them.
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our series, Living with Diabetes, brought to you by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. I'm Claire Levy, and in this edition we're talking to Shay Speakman-Brown from Dexcom, where she's the Market Access Director for the UK and Ireland. We discuss the latest developments in CGMs, continuous glucose monitors, hybrid and closed-loop systems, and the growing compatibility with other personal digital devices. I started by asking Shay about their participation at the recent conference of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes, EASD.
EASD is an international conference for diabetes. It really specialises in research, progression, technology, and gives everyone a chance to come together and to look at the range of technology and advancements that are made in diabetes. So it was a particularly interesting time for us. We had a symposium as well in 2024, which we probably want to expand on a bit today and tell you a bit about, because we had some innovation and new things to tell. So one of the things that we are really focusing on, or areas of diabetes, is type 2. During the EASD, we had a very strong presence and a lot of discussion at our symposium around how do we optimize diabetes treatment as a supporting therapy, and also, you know, how do we improve access so that with our technology and Dexcom technology specifically, we can improve reach and also user experience. So some of the discussions that we had during EASD were really around looking at how we can expand the network of devices. So recently launched Dexcom One Plus in the United Kingdom, Sweden and Ireland, and that's our newest sensor device, and that's really been built with type 2 diabetes and people living with that in mind, as well as making it available for those living with type 2 who don't need some of the advanced features that our other sensors have. And during that time, we had some discussion at the EASD, particularly around the Clark study, and that showed that 100% of Dexcom users with type 2 actually made dietary changes, and that was from taking readings from their mobile phone or their Dexcom receiver to show what the impact of food and their diet and also exercise had on their glucose levels. And that was a really important discussion that we had. But I think what was really important to us during the symposium was that 91% of those that used our sensor felt empowered to manage the diabetes. And I think that's a really powerful message, that it's not just about, you know, having access to technology, but it's actually the impact that it has whilst you're using it that can really make you feel empowered. And again, within that as well, 27% actually reported improved adherence to medication after 6 months. So I think these are really compelling results.
So how does that then translate into getting people, especially living with type 2 diabetes, using a CGM? I know you've got here on intensive insulin therapy, or even if they're not on insulin, the combined effects with other medications, because it's about cost, isn't it? And it comes down to Sometimes we use the expression, don't we, postcode lottery, and it depends on your particular area whether you're going to be able to get the funding to access these.
Yes, and it's really important that in each country where Dexcom is present, that we continue to drive access. We're still continuing with those living with type 1 to ensure that access is expanded and that people have expansion to advanced, you know, therapies and technology. But also with type 2, there's quite a difference in the access level. And sometimes that could be perceived as an inequality, you know, across different countries. And I think that's driven by the fact that there is a little less evidence at the moment in terms of supporting the diabetes technology in type 2. So we're really pleased that studies such as like Steno2Tech, which was also discussed in the symposium, and this CLAC study really shows specific evidence that sensory technology, and particularly focused in the type 2 area, whether you're on basal or 2 daily injections, it really makes a difference to lifting eyes onto what can happen when used in a person living with type 2, because access, again, is not equal on both therapies, and actually having these types of discussions really start to bring it to the forefront to ensure that anyone living with type 2 diabetes, particularly those on insulin, have immediate access to it. And also with the launch of other products that can be used for those not on insulin, but give them the opportunity to monitor glucose, it just adds to the story that there was a need for this technology.
Yeah, absolutely. So does that rely on, in the UK, does that rely on NICE approving it, or is it down to individual areas to approve?
So it's an interesting question. So type 1 with NG17 and NG18 and NG3 in England, particularly with the technology assessment 943, there is a really robust coverage and access for those living with type 1. For type 2, there is NICE guidance 28. Now, that has several recommendations in it for people living with type 2 diabetes, but there is some restrictions around that. For example, it's advised that you have 2 or more daily injections of insulin, and you may to manifest with hypoglycemia or impaired awareness. Now, living with type 2, it might not be something that an individual is prepared to discuss with their HCP early on. However, we do see that there is an uptake. So coverage in the United Kingdom, for example, of NG28 has risen from around 40% coverage. So that's the amount of health authorities that are enabling access to about 65% at the moment. So we are seeing that more and more health authorities are providing a policy for people to avail themselves of NG28.
And I think it's that balance, isn't it? Like with anything, you get people onto these systems using CGM and getting better control. And in the long term, those long term problems with eyes and feet and maybe heart disease will improve. But you've got to spread that out. And sometimes it's difficult when budgets are tight.
And I think that's right. And I think certainly in the type 2 space, what we want to see is at the moment there's around 3.55% of the total type 2 population who are truly eligible for a sensor under NICE guideline NG28. So it's really looking at that cohort and seeing where in the pathway is the best place to put a Dexcom sensor, for example, but then also looking at the health economic costs, the economic benefits, and also the clinical evidence. And what Dexcom is focusing on at the moment is really understanding where there may be gaps in that evidence. And that's why we are focused on type 2 with the CLAC study and Steno2Tech to really drive awareness of that and give tangible results. Because, for example, like you said, we need to prove that there is a benefit to the technology. And if we think of the Steno2Tech study, over two times or twice as many type 2s reached the HbA1c level that they needed compared to using finger sticks. And what is fair to say, I think, is across a number of countries, SMBG or finger sticking is still the standard of care. So there's still quite a long way to go in terms of covering technology across all of those cohorts. And one of the things that that Dexcom did recently was a sort of state of the nation type 2 report. And I think that really sets out very simply, you know, for everyone to understand, you know, why it's important to have technology. And in that report, it was based on caregivers and HCPs. And what it really uncovered was that 40% of people, regardless of their social economic background, you know, their position financially, you know, their postcode area, et cetera, 40% wanted to see their glucose numbers in real time. And they thought that having access to CGM technology would really positively impact their type 2 diabetes or that of the person that they care for. And I think that's why it's really important that we focus on expanding access at all levels and making the results also simple and easy to read.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a few years ago, people were struggling to even get a meter to do finger prick testing, and look how far we've come. And I think definitely for people with type 2, to be able to monitor, as you say, to see how food's affecting exercise, etc., makes a huge difference to their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's as we grow our knowledge of what's happening when we eat, and everyone's glucose fingerprint is different. And I think that's why it's important to have that constant feedback and ability to make decisions that do empower you. And that's why it's great that words like empowerment or better adherence to medication are starting to come out in these studies that really prove the benefit to lifestyle choices that you can make to manage your diabetes better.
Do you want to talk a bit about the Diabetes Awareness Week campaign with your Dexcom Warriors?
Yeah, so we really want to focus on, you know, getting people that are known to various individuals within different communities. So, for example, we have Henry Slade, so male rugby player, plays for England, really big social character and very open about his diabetes. We're raising awareness with those types of stakeholders who are warriors, and they really support the message that technology can benefit them in their diabetes. And during that week, it's really about raising awareness of the community. So the warrior community is very supportive as well, but raising awareness to families, friends, carers, that there is a community of support there, and that actually technology matters, and the person with that's living with diabetes matters too. They're at the centre of it. And I think when people see a relatable figure, they can really start to relate to that person and, you know, really look at, you know, how have they managed their condition and make it almost like normalize how they manage their lifestyle as well. So it's a really important week for Dexcom and for the diabetes community generally to ensure that the right messages are out there and that the support mechanisms are out there, and that actually once you get access to your technology, you can really put yourself at the center and manage your condition in the way that you wish to.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. My guest in this edition is Shay Speakman-Brown from Dexcom, where she's the Market Access Director for the UK and Ireland. And she emphasised that the company wants people living with diabetes to feel comfortable with the technology.
One of the sort of messages that we always put out is that we want to feel at home with Dexcom. We've had that theme at a few of our conferences recently, where we want people to feel comfortable not just with the technology, but also with living with diabetes and also the community and the warrior community that Dexcom supports.
Yeah, I mean, that fits in very well with our charity theme of staying well until a cure is found. So living well and having a lot more control, I think, because it's, as we always say, it's your diabetes, it's my diabetes. You live with it 24/7. These CGMs, etc., are all there to support you and help you make your life as simple as possible.
Yes, and I mean, one of the other things that we've started to work on as well is our connections with other apps. So we connect to Garmin, and we've got other partners as well, so that the diabetes data or the glucose data that you get can actually be read in the format that you're familiar as well. So we try to simplify, you know, how the data is fed to the individual so that there is familiarity with the way that the glucose data is delivered, which makes it more personable and more customizable as well. And actually on that, we launched in the United Kingdom Stelo, which is a new device for us that's over the counter and doesn't need prescription in the United States. And one of the reasons for that is that it's available for those who don't need insulin and for over 18. So again, we're trying to expand awareness so that there is a greater understanding about glucose, you know, the impact of sleep, diet, exercise on, you know, how our bodies function. So we're really trying to ensure that this type of data is accessible so that anyone who wants to monitor their glucose level in the United States and those in the United Kingdom who have diabetes can avail themselves of a range of technology with customizable apps, etc., that will give them the data in a way that they can best understand.
Amazing. Yeah, we've come a long way, as I say, from just a few years ago when everybody was finger prick testing. So it's fantastic.
I think one of the key things that we said we were focusing is on type 2. And I guess the question always is, you know, does that mean that Dexcom's focus has moved away from type 1? And I think the simple answer is no. We are still Dexcom is powering many hybrid closed loops, as they're called in the United Kingdom, or AID systems elsewhere. And we have still got the most clinical data and evidence than any other CGM connecting to, you know, pumps with algorithms to make those, you know, hybrid closed loop systems. And just to kind of add to that, globally, we've got the Tandem t:slim X2, which has got Control IQ technology, and Dexcom G7. So that offers a robust system for, you know, anyone wishing to avail themselves of that technology. And in the US, we've got Omnipod 5 and Tandem Mobi with Control IQ. So these are two different systems that also function with G7. So our focus is still very much on, you know, type 1 as well as type 2. And it's just ensuring that as we grow our technology, we continue to make sure that we take on board the user feedback and adapt and improve the technology to suit those that require it. So our focus is still, despite whilst we're moving into type 2 and then that non-using insulin cohort in the United States with Stelo, we still have a focus on all aspects of people living with diabetes.
Absolutely. And I think there's been such a lot of publicity around the hybrid closed loop. And then ultimately, and I don't think it's that far away, is it, that there will be the opportunity for those people who are able to use it, the fully closed loop, especially for children, maybe women trying for a baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic that, you know, particularly in England, there is a funding stream behind this as well, and it's opened up the opportunity, and I think it does lessen anxiety because people can now choose a system that is right for them. There is choice in the framework that's been provided, and there is a funding stream behind that, you know, a national strategic plan for England, and some of the other, you know, nations in the United Kingdom are starting to get their programs in place. So we're hoping to see, you know, greater access and uptake of the hybrid closed loop technology for those that require it with type 1.
And whilst, you know, as I say, we're staying well until a cure is found is our strap line. And whilst the cure may be a little way off, this kind of technology is really opening up people's lives, their opportunities to live more easily with their diabetes.
Yes, absolutely. It provides control and empowerment. And that's the word that I keep coming back to, because there's choice, you know, for the hybrid closed loop system in the United Kingdom. But now there is a choice and a range that's specific for those living with type 2. But you can also choose how your data arrives. You can choose whether you send your data to an electronic patient record, for example. And it gives that more holistic view of, you know, your diabetes journey and other parts of your healthcare roadmap as well. And I think it's just really important that we try to minimize any stigma that might be, you know, considered. We've got multiple wear sites with our sensors, so they don't just have to be on your arm, you know, they can be on your abdomen. So you can start to choose and take control of, you know, how you manage your condition as well.
Brilliant. The NHS is looking at digital health across a wide range of conditions. And how does Dexcom fit into that? And will it make a difference, do you think, for people being able to access this kind of technology?
I would say absolutely. Dexcom wants to increase access, and it wants to ensure that the data that it's producing in its glucose sensors can actually be shared as well. And I think as other policymakers come on board, there's a link with GLP-1s, with cardiovascular, there's a whole range of perioperative measures, et cetera, that having a Dexcom sensor and your glucose data shared in your electronic patient record can make a difference to. And I think really ensuring that the data that comes from the sensor is interpretable easily by any HCP, whether that's a GP or an endocrinologist or someone in a different, you know, function who wants to understand how that person's diabetes is affecting perhaps a hip operation or another aspect of the healthcare, that being at the center of that, Dexcom is focused on ensuring that not only are its sensors available and its technology, but also that through its partners, through its connected apps, etc., and through sharing of its data with the consent of the person living with diabetes, that actually it should have a benefit and be at the center of the choices that are made around the holistic decisions for that person's healthcare.
So if there's people out there who are interested in maybe a CGM and what Dexcom are doing, what's the best way for them to find out some information?
So Dexcom's website is always up to date, but we also have our Instagram pages, which are really good for snapshot updates. We've got our Facebook page. We've got our Warrior community that anyone on our product can actually link into, and they get regular updates. They also get things arriving in the post to keep them updated. And we have a strong social media presence so that there's a constant feed and different types of communication that can be sent out. And there's also, you know, things like the patient journey, there's HCP updates. We've also got webinars that are available throughout the year that will have different sort of posts and advertising different topics as well.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. Our thanks to Shay Speakman-Brown from Dexcom for providing such a comprehensive roundup of the latest developments in technology and their engagement with people living with diabetes. Just a reminder, there's lots of useful information about living with diabetes and how to support the charity, together with the latest fundraising events, news and information on our website at drwf.org.uk. This is Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Our thanks again to Shay for talking to us, and also to you for listening to this latest edition of our podcast, Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF. Copyright 2024, Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.